you very much for inviting me. I'm very pleased to be here. For a while on Wednesday morning at Los Angeles Airport, I thought I wasn't going to be here because the guy at immigration was very suspicious of me, probably because I don't look like my passport photo anymore. And he asked me what I was going to be doing, and I said I was going to be giving an invited talk at this meeting and at the AGU meeting, and in between I was going to be doing research at Kansas. And he said, they'll be paying you money to give those talks, won't they? And I said, no. And he said, you're trying to tell me that you're doing it out of the goodness of your heart, are you? And I said, well, yes. And in fact, I am. I'd do that for art without anybody paying me any money. And he said, if you're doing research, you need a J-1 visa. And I said, well, yeah, I just do research, that's what I do. And he said, no, you're on an exchange. Anyway, they kept me there for 2 hours for questioning, and then eventually somebody stamped my passport, and they didn't tell me I could go, but I just kind of went, and here I am. So, I'm obviously a suspicious person. So, I was going to give quite a technical and mathematical talk as I do, but I've actually cut out a lot of the technical material. I'll give some more general talk with just a little bit of technical material at the end if I get there. How do I advance it?
I think just use the mouse.
Aha. So just a little bit about Art Warwick, who I've greatly enjoyed working with at different times on projects. He majored in mathematics in his undergraduate degree, and then he was a graduate student of Don Kirkham at University of Iowa, where I'm sure he got another big dose of mathematics and physics, which has stood him in really good stead. And he's actually, unusually for this modern era, he's actually spent his whole career at the University of Arizona in Tucson, and also he doesn't particularly like to travel. But so all of us who want to work with him, we're very happy to travel to Tucson there to work with him. And unusually in soil physics or almost any other field, his work has covered the full spectrum from very theoretical work, very mathematical work, lots of special functions in Abramowitz and Stegen, to field work. But unlike some other theoreticians I've worked with in this area, Art is always very, very concerned about the applications and the practical applications of all his work, no matter how theoretical it is. So there's a picture of Art's main book, which I guess summarizes his teaching. And so I looked up, actually there was a glitch on Bookfinder at the weekend, and the high price was over $1,000 according to Bookfinder. But by Monday that was corrected, and the high price is $156.95 and the low price is $9. And last year I guess, you could buy copies of it for some copies for $5 on Bookfinder, and so I had all my colleagues buy copies. But I recommend it strongly, even at $156.95. And I think the book, the appearance of the book, well, it reflects Art's personality. It's hasn't got it lots of ornate stuff on the cover, no fancy pictures, and it just got a few words saying exactly what it does and no more. So I guess he could have called it Advanced Soil Physics, except that title was already taken. But on the cover of Charles' book on soil physics, there's a diagram of a flow net. The only problem is it's printed upside down on the cover. I don't know if anybody's ever noticed that, so Art hasn't run that risk. So somebody heard about Art's publications, so there's about 170 publications, and my co-author, as it were, Alex, has made that diagram of how many papers Art has published in each year from 1968 up to 2005 from Science Citation Index. So you can see a couple of big peaks, and about 175 papers altogether. And so Alex looked up the citations, and so that's the there's something like about 2,500 citations. Getting citations is not an exact science, but and that's the citations in the year that the publication, that the year that the papers were published that cited Art's papers. So as happens with citations, it starts off slowly at the beginning and builds up, and it's still building up, and I'm sure it will build up and for many years to come. And so Alex has got this diagram of the citations, or the same data as on the previous picture, except that they're now arranged according to year in which Art's paper was published, and those peaks correspond to highly cited papers. So this looks like a inorganic chemistry or something, but the first peak is simultaneous solute and water transfer for an unsaturated soil. The next peak is actually a double peak for time-dependent linearized infiltration and two-phase model for permissible displacement of reactive solutes, scaling field-measured soil hydraulic properties, a double peak there for soil solute concentration distribution and spatial dependence of physical properties. And that peak is again a double peak for optimization of sampling locations and estimating soil water content using Koh-Kriging. And that highly cited paper models for disk infiltrometers. So I've got a lot of, well, these are some of the many areas that Art has published in, and I've put together just almost random sample, a small sample of his papers under particular topics. So he's one of the, probably the thing he's published the most papers in is Mathematical Solutions for a Gardener Soil. And these are three papers with Dave Lohmanen, and Dave is going to talk about some of that work later on. And the one at the end, a very mathematical paper in 1996 in the Journal of Hydrology, which you could certainly describe as a heroic piece of mathematics. And we've got flow around soil samplers, these two influential papers in that area. And Art has had the courage, as it were, to tackle layered soils and sloping layers. So that's something that he's been very interested in, real soils, whereas most soil physicists just content themselves with completely homogeneous soils. And you can see over some years, Art has been working on layered soils. And in fact, we've just got a paper about to be submitted, I hope, at the end, on steady water flow through horizontal and tilted unsaturated soil. And flow around obstructions. So this was Rankine bodies, which means that you actually make an obstruction in the shape of the flow lines or the stream lines. And solvable nonlinear Richards equations, which is something that Phil Broadbridge is going to talk about later. So Art has published papers on Berger's equation and on various Broadbridge and White extensions of the Broadbridge and White models to drainage, and again with the aim of making the solutions, which are quite complicated, making them as useful and practical as possible. And John Philip worked for many years in the area of gardener soils without really concerning himself much about how you match the parameters, how you choose the parameters, and that's something that Art, with his practical interests, has been very much concerned with, is how to actually choose the parameters for the gardener soils. And analytical element methods, which is one of the things I'm going to talk about briefly, Art and I did some work on that, unsaturated flow through a circular inclusion and through a spherical inclusion, with the aim of looking at flow through large either regular arrays or large collections of inclusions with different properties. And so that's another interest of Art over the last few years. was effective parameters for heterogeneous soils. Again, attacking real soils which may have inclusions of all different properties, stones or rocks or layers, unlike most soil physicists who just look at homogeneous soils. So, and I think all his career has been interested in practical properties for irrigation from borders and basins and coupled surface and subsurface solute transport, and in particular has looked at infiltration functions that are useful for that problem and various models. So he's extended the Green and Amt to infiltration under variable ponding depths of water, and also engineers, I think, that I know, all who work on this problem, all persist in using the Kostyakov infiltration function, and Art has been trying to make it more useful and actually accounting for the various initial and boundary conditions. Because engineers that I know say, well, we won't use other infiltration functions because they have singularities at time zero, and we can't cope with that. So I'll just talk a very little bit. How much time have I got?
A few more minutes.
So I'll talk about the analytical element method, which is, I guess, a somewhat fancy name, which imitates the finite element method. So the elements in this method are mathematical functions, if you like. So we have to, we have a PDE model of reality, and I'm going to just talk about this, the use of this for, as it says in the title, for unsaturated flow. And we have purely two ways of attacking the partial differential equation: analytical methods and numerical methods. And Art has done both in his career. And so the, and then you have methods which are a mixture of the two, which computers make possible, where you have basically analytical functions that you're fitting to your problem, but ultimately you get some system of linear equations, for example, that you have to solve on a computer to actually find the coefficients of that, those series. So, as it says, you have to modify the math or modify the physics, one or the other. You've got to modify something. So analytical element models are a compromise between what you might call purely numerical methods, like finite differences and finite elements, and purely analytical methods. And so, for example, for the Laplace equation for steady state groundwater, different people have used that, Strack in particular and his colleagues, and for electrical problems, Art has worked with Alex and Ty on that, and Yankovic, Degan and others have worked on dispersion in flow. So the modified Helmholtz equation is just a fancy name for what you get when you do the Gardner approximation for a Gardner soil. And Art and I worked on steady unsaturated flow. It's cropped up in transient groundwater with Alex and Shlomo Neumann, and multi-aquifer problems. So in this case, for Richard's equation for steady state, this is how it works. So Art teaches all his students where the apostrophe goes in Richard's equation. So that's a very useful skill in later life. So you have the steady state equation, use the matrix flux potential, which you can call the Kirchhoff potential, and the particular assumption of exponential dependence on H, and you get a linear, in the steady state, you get a linear advection diffusion equation. And Art has also previously considered the time-dependent problem as well. And you make that exponential transformation, which transforms the equation into what mathematicians call the modified Helmholtz equation. And the point of doing that exponential transformation is that then that resultant Helmholtz equation doesn't have any preferred direction. And it's called modified because the parameter is actually complex. So that means, well, you get Bessel functions, but in reality they come out to be modified Bessel functions, k's and i's. And so you have a separation of variables and you have an analytical solution, but lots of numerical coefficients which you have to find numerically. So inside a circular region with different properties, you have outside you have functions which have singularities inside, but that doesn't matter. The first one is out, is outside, the second one is inside. And those functions that behave well inside go off to infinity outside, that doesn't matter. So what John Philip, Trevor Vector and I did was when there was a zero conductivity inside, we found some analytical solutions. But where you have two different soils, one inside, one outside, you have to match the boundary conditions on that circular boundary. In some cases, you can do it directly on the series. In other cases, you do a kind of collocation at points all around the boundary, and you match it at specific numbers of points. So you make the normal flux continuous, and you get a whole set of linear equations. And on the left side is what you get for, say, finite differences, finite elements, where you have banded matrices. For this analytical element method, you get full matrices to solve, but they're much, much smaller. And here are some sample results, and the one on the left is where the saturated hydraulic conductivity inside is 5 times the value outside, and you see there's a kind of preferential flow through the inclusion, which has higher conductivity. On the right, it's something with lower permeability, so there's much more flow outside. And yeah, so that's, I think, the different background values. And that is the one on the left is the two-dimensional one, so that's where you've got a horizontal cylinder of different properties. And the one on the right is, in fact, for a spherical inclusion, which is something I haven't mentioned, and it gets a little bit more complicated, but it's axisymmetric, and you have all kinds of spherical Bessel functions and spherical functions. So that's an example of what we can do. I just wanted to say at the end that I think, having worked, for example, with John Philip for a long time, I found working with John Philip and working with Art to be completely different. And you might think of John Philip and Art Warwick as the antiparticles of each other, with Art being positive, but about the same strength. And I used to have, John Philip used to become upset with me once a week. The whole time I've worked with Art, he only ever once became upset with me, and that was at the Bridge Club when I bid very stupidly. So I certainly found it a great pleasure to be working with Art, and I hope to continue to do so.